This is Global Air Force.
I didn't want to waste my time. I wanted to worship a God who's real, who talks, who walks like a God. 5 minutes got over, he didn't come. Nothing came. I thought, you're all just fake God. I don't do anything. I don't want to do anything with you. And as about to drink my rat poison, I heard a voice telling me, Ravi, this is true. You are my son.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Today on our program, we present the second part of a series from Ravi Kendall as he's speaking at a Fearless conference at Global Awakening in the United States. Ravi is sharing his experiences of how he came to meet the Lord and how he went to Bible school and wrote a paper there on demonology. That did not go over too well because they didn't believe in demons. So let's go on and share some of these adventures and wonderful ministry of Ravi Kendall. Here's Ravi.
Revival is going to break through from our city, and that very city will be touched. It's called Silicon Valley of India. My city called Silicon. If you call any other phone call, I mean any other Delta or any, it goes to my city. Though you don't understand, you know, a lot of times that's my state. I was born to a. How many of you know my testimony? I was born to a Baptist preacher family. Born into a Baptist family. My dad was a Baptist preacher. Is still a Baptist preacher. When he was born, their parents gave himself to a priest, to be a priest, and he was doing all kinds of priestlyhood and things, and the way he got saved was 17, 20 years old. He was the most important person in that place, a very important person. He did everything possible to make his city shine. So as he was growing in that level of understanding their gods and Hinduism, he happened to take a train from one place to another place. He happened to read a small tract. He said, where would you go after you die? Where would you go after you die? And that question gripped his heart, and he didn't know what happened. He took that leaflet, went to his Christian friend, and he talked about this thing, and he didn't understand. He took him to the pastor, and pastor talked about this. His 17 years of being a priest and son of a priest and doing all kinds of worship to the snake god, he grasped the truth of the religion. When he grasped the roots of the religion, all he saw was there is a life after. There is no life after death. There's only life. One shot, you get to see heaven. And he gets saved. He got excited. He went home. He talked to his parents, and he said, "I am a Christian now. I don't want to do anything of this sort. I want you to become Christian." The parents didn't like him. They kicked him out, and the village tried to preach the gospel to the village. Village people didn't like him. They kicked him out, and he somehow landed up in a Bible college. And as he was studying the Bible college for 2 years, the second year, it seems, he had an epidemic disease. Then it was a cholera. He had an epidemic disease that had no cure those days. So he was attacked by cholera and physically died. This is before marriage. He physically died in those days. When he physically died, they sent the letters to all his people to come and pick up the dead body. And he was put in the mortuary for 2 days. The second day, it seems, someone came to his bed and said, Joseph, wake up. This is not your place to be. I will show you where to go. And he woke up. This white fur disappeared. All that he saw is mortuaries and dead bodies all over him. He screamed. When he screamed, a person outside also screamed because he thought demons are inside. And all he knew was to walk out of his death certificate saying, listen, I was dead, but Jesus came to me and healed me back again. You got to believe now. Went back to his home, showed his death certificate where people were getting ready to take the dead body and burn him. And here's walking, this Joseph walking down the streets and says, I'm not a demon, but I'm a flesh. I have a flesh. And I was dead. Look at my certificate. I was dead, but now I'm alive. My Jesus woke me up. They had to believe him. The whole village got saved. His people, his family got saved. Today, his temple, his house became a church today. And he called it as Calvary Baptist Church. I said, why did you call your Baptist only Baptist? Those things happen to only Pentecostals. It never happens to Baptist. I don't understand. Anyways. When that happened, he after a few months, he got married to a pastor's daughter. He came to the city. He wanted to share the gospel. He was a passionate pastor. I was born into the family. Me and my sister were born to the family. And my dad was so passionate. He would come home almost every single day. I was young. Come home some days beaten up. And I would ask dad, I would ask my father. I still remember that day. I said, Dad, where is that God you talk about? Where is that God who's supposed to be protecting you? Where is that Jesus you talk about, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and all of the ism? Where is that God who's supposed to be protecting you? Why do you come home so beaten up? And he says, Ravi, this is how Christianity works. I didn't understand that. All right, Daddy, where is that? Well, are we going to have food tomorrow? He said, Ravi, all he said is, Ravi, let's pray. We will have food tomorrow. Every single day, there is no day we pass not having food, not education to my schooling. He provided faithfully, God provided faithfully, my dad provided faithfully, but I didn't understand. Then I said, why did you have to leave all your good things in your village and come down? We were living in a shack, kind of shack. I said, why do we have to live here? When you talk about a king who created the heavens and earth, the diamonds and gold and silver, why would I live? I should have been a prince over the kingdom. Why am I living here? Genuine question. And that question took me off. When I was 11 years old, I met this gang leader, in my city. He somehow we had an encounter, and he met me. I met him, and I loved him. He loved me back so much. I don't know why. I had a big cheeks, I guess. He always pulled my cheeks left and right, and he loved me. He took me as a son, and he had this Harley Davidson. We had Royal. It's called Royal Enfield in India, but he had this Royal Enfield, and I would sit on with him. He would wait for me from my house to pick me up to drop me to the school. He was so famous those days. He had two kinds of business. He used to sell the drugs, and he would sell the examination papers. You ask him from first grade to any grades, he will give it to you. Very famous, very influential person. So people would be scared to death even as he walks. Even when if anybody walks before him, that fellow is dead that day. And people would be scared to death. That is who I wanted to be. I was in a place to worship a hero. I walked like him. I talked like him. And as the days went by, I would do exactly what he taught me things. He taught me things to do. While his absence, I would do his business. 14 years, when I 14 years, it happened that he was killed in a street fight. Police shot him dead. And people were searching for this for a leader to run this conference, to run this organization. No one knew how to run this organization. The only fellow who could have run this organization was Ravi only. Because Bharata Raja, that is a big king, taught everything to the Chota king, that means small king. He is the only person who knows how to do this business. They made me sit on the chair. I'm 14 years old. I ran this business with 28 to 32 people under me who are 30 years older than me. I did this business. When I was 17 years, closing to 17 years old, I realized I didn't have peace in my heart. I realized nobody cared about me. All that they cared was, what is it? What is it? What? How do I grab things from this guy? I wanted a real love from somebody who can say, it's okay, Ravi, let's go for a coffee. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And the Lord said, I went searching for the friendship, and I went to friends and said, hey, would you be my friend? And nobody wanted to be a friend, because all they thought was, Ravi, if I'm with you, I will lose my name. I will lose everything in me. I will be just like you, because your life is miserable. So friends disregard me. Their people disregarded me. I didn't want to do anything with my parents just because I didn't like the work they did. My cousins disregarded me. All of a sudden, I thought, you know what? There are 3 million man-made gods in India. Why don't I try these 3 million man-made gods? Let me try them. I remember that day, one day, I looked at him. I looked at that. Well, I said, why don't you try these gods? And I went to this god called, this one god, famous god in India. I said, hey, God, I know you're famous god. You look awesome. I know you've been talking to this 3 billion of Indians in there. I know you've been giving all kinds of answers, because they're so happy that they look so happy when they came to pray. I know you've been talking to them. Today, I want you to talk to me. Come out and meet me. I will give you 20 minutes. I rang the bell. We have bells, you know. We rang the bell. I rang the bell. 20 minutes got over. And I looked at the time. I said, you know, I know you're famous. I know you're very busy. I'll give you 5 minutes grace time. The 5 minutes got over, nothing came out. And I said, you know, maybe you're busy. Maybe I'll try your son. I tried every single God's possibly there. Nothing. Nobody gave me answers. On the end of the day, on the second, and after a few days, I can tell you stories by stories, funny stories, but there's no time to it. I decided to take my life. And went to my June 11th. I bought a rat poison. I went to my room and said, you know, I need to die today. I need to die today. There's no point for me to live on this earth. In other words, as I was thinking, one fellow gripped my mind, and that was a fellow who supported me from the United States every single month when I was 11 to 14 years old. He supported me by an organization called Compassion International. All he did was to write me letters every quarterly. He's a Seventh-day Adventist. He was 17 to 20 years old. He would, all that he would say, Ravi, you have an awesome handwriting. If you see it today, you would call it a Chinese handwriting. And I would draw some beautiful pictures. If you see it today, you would call it as a modern drawing, you know. And all that I would love the letter that he would write to me. I would take the letter, run to the bathroom of the loneliest place. I would weep and weep and weep and weep. When I'm 14 years old, he wrote me a letter saying, Ravi, I won't be able to write to you again because I'm going for a Gulf War. I'm going for a Gulf War, and that Gulf, I cannot write it because I don't know whether I'll be alive or not, but I'll see you someday preaching to hundreds. 14 years, that was the time my life was shaking. My life was taken out another direction. I said, Mark, his name is Mark. Mark, you have no clue what is happening in my life. I don't want to do anything with Jesus. I threw my letter on that basket and left. 17 years, I thought, you know what? Let me read that letter. Let me feel that love, at least that love for my sponsor letter. I was reading the letter, and I started reading the letter. He never shared nothing, no gospel, no plain God's going to take over, God bless you. And all of a sudden, my brilliant mind said, you know what? You tried every God possible. Why don't I try Jesus? I looked it up and said, you know what? Jesus, my brother is recommending you, feels like. If you're a God, I want you to come out and meet me. I will give you exactly 5 minutes. I didn't want to waste my time. I wanted to worship a God who's real, who talks, who walks like a God. 5 minutes got over, he didn't come. Nothing came. I thought, you're also a fake God. I don't want to do anything with you. And as about to drink my rat poison. I heard a voice telling me, Ravi, this is true. You are my son. An outside voice. This is true. You are my son. In American word, I freaked out. I was on my knees. My room was filled with white, thick light. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know where my bed was. I said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I want to take you as my personal savior. Why didn't you come in the first place? I was waiting for the morning to come to go tell my parents. The morning came, ran to my parents, told everything about what happened. They got excited. Even as I walked out, even the grass I used to see every day looked new to me. Went out straight away to share the gospel in the villages in an amazing way. God did. And after 1 week, I was so guilty, conscious, and I said, I need to give myself to the police. Went to the cops and gave myself to the cops and said, this happened. This I did. I'm guilty to be guilty behind the bars. And the cops looked at me and tried to find everything possible they could do. And there was a police commissioner, a Christian police commissioner, that I talked to him about what happened to me in this few days back, and he made more search on me, more investigation on me to make sure what I'm telling. He comes back to me and says, Ravi, we couldn't find any records of complaints against you. I believe an amazing change in your life. I've heard stories about you. It seems you never smiled. Nobody saw you smiling. Everybody I heard, he's a notorious fellow. He doesn't smile. Look at your face. Something happened with you. Who am I when your father set you free? Who am I to put you under the guilt? And he set me out. And after a few weeks, I thought my life and said, you know what? Someone is supposed to be behind me to kill me, because it's a protocol of every gangster's life. You have to be killed. That is a protocol. I looked at one friend and he looked at me and I said, where are your people supposed to be killing? They're supposed to be there behind me to kill me. And he said, well, the rumor went around Ravi, because they said, do not touch Ravi. You'll be cursed. I said, what do you mean? Don't touch him. Don't go near him. He's become weird. He's bringing the feet out, legs out, eyes out, hair out, and all kinds of things. There's things that are happening in his life. If you touch him, you will be cursed. You shall be cursed. I said, praise the Lord. I was so glad that those people let me free, and they are still my good friends. But there are a lot of people got saved, but there's more people I have to get saved. They have to get saved. But after one year's time. After one year's time, I was going to village and share the gospel. The Lord looked at me and he said, Ravi, I want you to go to Bible college and study. I said, why do you want me to go Bible college, Jesus? Aren't you the Bible college? Aren't you the Bible school I'm looking for? You are a Christology. You are right there. I don't need any Christology when I'm looking at you. Talk to me. Talk to me about your theology. I like to do it. Obviously, he doesn't talk to you, right? So he said, I want you to go to a school called Bob Johns University. I said, Bob Johns University. Anybody know who Bob Johns University is? All right. Fundamental Biblical Seminary or something like that. Baptist Seminary. Yeah. The person looks at me and he says, we don't believe in angels. We don't believe in supernatural. We don't believe in this. We don't believe this. We don't believe this. I said, do you believe in Jesus at least a little bit? They didn't understand me. They didn't understand me. I would ask them questions, say, look, I'm hearing this voice telling me these things to my professors, telling these things. Look, it's going to happen to you tomorrow. Why would you explain that? How would you explain that? That my father is still alive. How would you explain that? I'm going to come talk to you tomorrow. And I went back again tomorrow, the next day, and said, sir, did this happen to you? He said, yeah, Ravi, you need to go read your Greek and Hebrew. Study that subject. It's important. I did my bachelor's, I did my master's. How? I don't know. On the last year of my bachelor's, I gave a paper called, I had to do a paper for my graduation. I did a paper on demonology. They were not happy with me on the first day. They were not happy on the last day. I said, we are not happy with you, Ravi. We don't believe in these things. I said, how would you not believe in these things? When I did the whole year research on demonology, going to every witchcraft fellow, talking to him, understanding that witchcraft. I said, these witchcraft fellow do the same thing what my daddy could do. He works on powers. He has the witchcraft in almost every village I go. There is a witchcraft, does the same things someone, my daddy could do. He does heal headaches. He's doing this. I went to the most famous witchcraft, and I would ask them questions. How many powers do you have? What kind of powers do you have? What is it to be a witchcraft? What makes you witchcraft? And I made it understanding because I was writing a paper. I wanted to prove Bob Jones was wrong. And also, I wanted to also test the power of God, power of the kingdom of God. I said, you know what? There must be power. There must be a higher power. Let me test my Jesus power. One fellow was sitting there and doing us all this mantras, and I was asking questions, you know, and my brain said, no. In other words, I said, I release the kingdom, the power of the kingdom on this place right now. This fellow looked at me and said, what did you say? All my powers have left. What did you do to me? Who are you? What is happening? You are not someone who came to interview you. You have something in you. What do you have? I don't have right now. Sign this paper, please. And he gets saved. He worships the Lord. And he says, you know what? You know what? I want you to sign this bibliography, and I'm going to put your photograph. Is that okay? Yeah. I wanted to show my professors. They don't believe in the books. They believe, I believe in the real stories. So I'm going to write your name, your address here, so the people can come and talk to you, okay? Is that all right? So they needed bibliography. I took bibliographies of witchcrafts. Those bibliographies, they wanted to know, Bob Jones wanted to know, any of the Bible college wanted to know, is proofs. My daddy's power is still alive. He can do things that no one can do. He brings in from free, all that enemy knows, enemy can do is heal headaches, leg aches, and just a little bit here and there temporarily. All that the enemy does is temporary things. But when daddy touches, when Jesus touches, he does beyond little bit temporary work. He does it. They said, looked at me and they said, you know what? We cannot graduate you because you are against our principles. I said, who cares? The next day they called me and said, we're going to graduate you tomorrow. And I had an inside person. I said, hey, what happened? What made them to graduate me? They said, well, they said, if you don't graduate him, he'll stick around. In other words, they graduated me. I'm a Bob Jones product. But here's the good thing, guys. They taught me how to search the scriptures, though. The best thing they gave me is just how to search the scriptures. I got to go to my Bible to every answers he gives me. It is his ultimate answers that's in the Bible. You see, from that very point of view, from that very day, I've been worshiping God, this very God who can talk and share. You know, when Jesus takes our lives, when Jesus takes our lives, all he does, all that daddy does, He'll not take over us. We become a changing agent of the kingdom. We become a change agents in the kingdom. All Daddy desires us to be a changing agents in the kingdom. There are two kinds of kingdoms today. There's a kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. That is called the fear. All the kingdom of the enemy does is put fear on the situation, tells us not to go with it. This is going to happen. Do not go there. Do not go to these places. Don't go to these witchcraft places. Don't do this. Don't do that. You go into these places, the witchcraft things will hop on you. These things will hop and catch and take you places. When I am in the kingdom, I become a king, not a servant. Because he's given me the authority to be a king rather than serving. I am a serving king, but not a servant.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. Hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly, the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into